I see you here. Welcome to Gillingham Baptist Church. We're going to make a start. Welcome to those who are watching online as well, and we're very glad that you're able to be with us today. You will see that we have communion this morning, opportunities for us to share together in this common family meal. And we'll be focusing our thoughts a little on that in the first part of the service while we're all together. And for those of you who are at home, if you can ensure that you have the relevant elements for your taking part in communion, that will be really good as well. It's good that we can be together. It's a lovely opportunity just to be able to focus our thoughts, to receive from God, to respond to him. And Karen's going to lead our opening worship for us, so I'll hand over to Karen. Thank you.
It's lovely to see everybody. I want you just to have a little think now with me. This morning I left my house and I hadn't made the bed. It's quite unusual. I don't know if my husband's done it. Simon might have made the bed or not. But I hadn't made the bed. I'd picked loads of rhubarb for some friends. And so there was rhubarb everywhere. And there was kind of trugs of various vegetables and things. Because I got up very early to do that. And my house wasn't as tidy as it sometimes could be. So I want you to think about how you've left your house this morning. What it looks like, what your bedroom looks like, maybe what some of the rooms look like. I don't know what you want to think about. I just want you to imagine that Jesus has just knocked on the door. You know, your house is as is, and he comes in. And then he has a little look around. So he's having a look around your house and you're going, oop, and you're kind of hiding this under the cushion or you're putting this here and whatever you're doing, I don't know. And he just sees you literally as you are, not as you like to be on a Sunday, because you're all looking incredibly beautiful this morning, all floral and cool and lovely. And I want you to think about that, what that's like. What that experience would be like if Jesus came to your house unexpectedly. In the same way, I want you to think about if Jesus looked at your heart just as it is, not with you tidying a few bits of your heart up, but literally just as it is. I'm going to read you the story of Mary and Martha, and it's from Luke 10, 38 to 42, if you want to read it with me. You're welcome. So, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So Martha is really distracted. She's busy. I'm sure she's got all the things out. She's got the Hoover and the polish and the whatever, the sprays and the dusters and whatever that's going on. And she's doing stuff. She's doing it for God. She's doing stuff. She's doing it for God. Absolutely, 100%. But the busyness of her life kind of got in the way. And the doing got in the way of being with God. So Mary was rewarded because she just recognized who Jesus was. "Oh, okay, I'm going to be with you, Jesus." And so I'm going to ask you this morning, if you could do a bit of a miraculous thing and take your focus off your frustrations, the busyness of your life, and stay in the present. Be in the present this morning when we worship, when we have communion, when we hear the word of God. Spend time being with God. Not even distracted by your desire to serve. If you're serving, it's great. Thank you very much for those. Sarah, thank you for your service. But don't get distracted, because you're still here to be with God. And then ask him to come into your heart and see what might need tidying up. Because that's your time to do it. This is your time to do it, for us all to do it together. Okay? Let's stand if you're able and sing. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our song be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let our prayer come from heaven. With our hearts, with your life, we are here for you. We are here for you. To our hearts are open. are good. It's true. We love it. We love you. There isn't anything really that we need to worry about, although we do worry. And so we just say that now to you. So sorry, Lord, because we're worrying about stuff, but we don't need to, because you are on our side. You're in charge of everything. You are the boss of the world. And so you care about us and our lives and everything in it. And so we trust you this morning. And we ask, really, that you would speak to our hearts. That we wouldn't faff around this morning. We wouldn't make it complicated. You would clear a path spiritually, Lord, this morning. And that you would be able to speak to us in such a deep way. We want your presence with us, Lord. Please, please, help us to hear you. We want to make a difference, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you can stay standing, that would be great. If you feel a bit weary, you're very welcome to sit down.
If my heart can make a home, then as long as I am able, I will make it yours alone. In my grave,
I make room in my heart. you're able to look up.
Put your hands out if you're able. Just stay in His presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen, if you'd like to sit down.
Thank you very much, Karen. Thank you. Earlier this year, someone who I had a great deal of time for, a great deal of respect for, Dr. Rex Mason, who was our Old Testament tutor at college, passed away. He was just short of his 100th birthday. And he was a wonderful, wonderful colleague, a wonderful inspiration in the way that he opened up the Old Testament for students for many years. One of the things, the standout things for me that Rex Mason taught me was grace and how we can find grace in the Old Testament. And by grace, I mean this thing we call forgiveness, this thing that we call help, this thing that we call God's mercy, all these things wrapped together. The problem is that so often within our Christian faith and Christian religion, we still, in spite of everything we say, we still have a tendency to turn it into works. We still have this tendency to talk about it as if it's our effort and our strength that gets us there. But at the end of the day, it's this thing called grace. God's mercy. God's love. That's what we proclaim, and that's what we celebrate here as we gather around this table. Each of us try. We try to serve God. We try to do the right things. We try to do all those things that He asks of us, but so often we fall short and so often we fail. And that's a great shame and that's a tragedy. But guess what? There is grace. There is mercy. There is God's wonderful forgiveness. Paul, in the letter to the Romans, said what we couldn't do ourselves, God did for us. What we couldn't do for ourselves, God did for us. So I don't know this morning if you are struggling in your own strength, if you are beating yourself up because of X, Y, and Z. Come to this table because here there is grace. There is God's forgiveness. There is that opportunity to be renewed as we take these elements of bread and wine together. Some of you will be familiar with the old hymn, Rock of Ages. Let me just read to you two verses from that hymn. Not the labours of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. We come to a God of mercy. We come to a place of forgiveness and renewal. We come to receive God's grace this morning. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy towards us. Thank you that you are not a hard taskmaster. Thank you that you understand our weaknesses and our frailties. Thank you that you understand what we go through as human beings. And we bless you and praise you for your compassion and your understanding. Lord, as we come to this table this morning and we see before us elements of Jesus Christ crucified on the cross, as we see that bread, that broken body, that wine, that poured out blood, as we see those reminders of that sacrifice of Christ, Father, may it just remind us of that forgiveness and love that we have in Jesus Christ. We come to you, Lord, in our weakness. We come to you in our failure. We come to you in our shortcomings. We come to you in all our inadequacies. We ask for your forgiveness, your pardon, and your renewal this day. Bless this bread and wine to us. May it become the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we take these elements into ourselves, may you indeed renew us in body, mind, and spirit. Bless these elements, we ask and pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would those who are serving at communion like to come and join me, please? It's our practice here that the bread is served first. And it's your opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to receive that grace and ask for his pardon. As the bread comes to you, it's your opportunity of saying thank you and yes to him. We eat the bread as we receive it. The Apostle Paul tells us, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night on which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broke it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We will eat the bread as we receive it, and it's our own personal response to the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. All the bread that we serve in church is gluten-free for those who have allergies. In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We are going to retain the cups when everyone has been served upstairs and downstairs. Then we will drink together as one people in Jesus Christ. While the wine is being distributed, we're going to remain seated and sing a song of preparation together. Thank you. Blood of Christ was shed for us. Let's drink this with thanksgiving. There's a prayer on the screen that we're going to say together. And if you can read those words there. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Let's keep our heads bowed a little longer, shall we? Father, we thank you that we can be here today, that we can share this meal with you. But we do want to lift before you those who are not able to be with us through health and age and infirmity, and we just commend them. We pray for Liz Clark and ask again, Lord, that you would speed through that appointment for Liz, that she would get her surgery date so she can work to it. And Father, may you just bring healing into her body at this time as she's still not well at all. And we just commend her to you and pray that you really would help her in these days. We think of Christina Kearton. We think of Donna Worsfold. We think of Stephen Harper, who continue to struggle with poor health. And we pray your healing into their lives, that you'd help them each and every day with the struggles that they have to go through. Father, minister to them. May they experience your grace and your mercy in these particular days. We think of Chris and Vanda, and we ask that you would bless them in all that they're striving to do for you. And Lord, help them with their multiple health problems at this time as well. We think of those who are very elderly. We think of our oldest church member, Kathleen Whitehead, who will be 105 in August. And we commend Kathleen to you and pray that you'd make yourself known to her in a home and just help her to be aware of your love touching her. We think of those who are in care homes and we pray that you'd minister to them and help them in their day-to-day struggles and the things that they really wrestle with at this time. Lord, help them and touch them with your love and your care. And we think of those who are at home, housebound and not able to get out. And Lord, may you minister to them, we pray. For those who struggle with mental health problems, we commend them to you. And we commend to you Aaliyah's mom and pray that you'd continue to help her as she struggles with the chemo. And Lord, may you bring healing into Kelly's life. And Father, help her at this particular time, we pray. May there be some good news to share with the whole family. We think of our young people and we ask that you'd help them with all the things that they are dealing with at this time. Those in school, those at college, those who carry worries and fears, Lord, we just commend them to you. And Father, we pray for Sarah Ray as she has her MinRec interview this coming week. And we pray for Sarah that you would just quieten her nerves at this time and help her to have a successful day on Thursday, we pray. Father, we lift ourselves to you and we lift all those who we love and care for you before you as well. Minister to their needs, minister to our needs, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We remember the cross as we celebrate communion, but we remember as well that Jesus rose from the dead and we share the resurrection too. And the song that we're going to sing now captures the essence of that. Karen, thank you.
There you go. If you're able, let's stand.
The moon and stars, they went. The morning sun was there. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every past upon him. When the final breath he gave, as heaven looked away, as the Son of God was laid.
sin.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is on the throne. We celebrate the risen Christ. We celebrate Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. That's our belief. That's our hope. And that's what gives purpose and meaning to our lives. We're going to take up an offering now for the work of the church here. If you're able to make a gift, that's appreciated. We know many of you give in other ways, and some of you find giving at this stage a very difficult thing to do. But we're going to take an offering, and thank you. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. We thank you for all the good things that you provide for our need. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your constant care of our lives. Father, from full and glad hearts, we give back to you. We lay these gifts before you now and ask your blessing upon them and the givers also through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, just before the children disappear, you will notice that, you can hardly miss it, we've got all these national flags around the balcony here. Which reflect the various nationalities of those who worship as part of this Christian community and this place of worship. Do come down. We have, however, an omission, which we are going to rectify today. Stand. So, Unji, that right? Yes? Hang on. Yes. Please tell us your nationality.
So my name is Eun-ji. I'm from South Korea.
South Korea. Now, I often get these the wrong way up. Is that the South Korea flag?
It is correct.
It is.
Yes.
Is it the right way up?
Yes.
It is. That's fine. Andy, you've got a job on Monday. Okay. So that is fine. So we will put this somewhere on the there alongside. I think yours was the last one, wasn't it? The Greek one. Yes, that was the last one. So we will do that. We're so glad that you've been worshiping with us, you and Simon, who's hiding up there. So that's really good. Tell us a bit about yourself. How did you get to be here? What do you do? That sort of thing. Use the microphone.
I'm sorry.
I'm putting you on the spot. It's very unfair of me.
I moved to UK 15 years ago,
right, okay.
After meeting Simon.
Right, yeah.
And then we lived in Gravesend before. Okay. And then about 8 years ago, we moved to Gillingham.
Right.
And currently I'm working as a formulation scientist.
Okay, super. Yeah. Oh, very good.
Thank you.
Very
nice to
good.
Meet you.
Well, really pleased to see you. And next week we'll have this showing in all its glory. So Thank you. God bless. Let me go and do something with this in a minute. Children are going to go to their different classes now. I'm hoping they all know where they're going. If you're not sure, then ask. That will be the best thing to do. Thank you. Let's just be quiet for a few moments, shall we? Bow our heads. Might be all sorts of things. Might be all sorts of things buzzing through our minds this morning. We might feel hurried and rushed. Might feel conflicted. Lord, just minister to us, we ask and pray. Help us to know your peace in our lives. Guide us in all things at all times. We lift our world to you in its turmoil, its conflict. Praying for your peace to descend upon our world. Praying that you would raise up peacemakers. Praying that you would be working in some of those troubled spots of the world. Heavenly Father, we just pray for your will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We pray for our own nation as well and our own community here in Gillingham, in Medway. Father, may you minister to all those whose hearts are breaking. Draw close to those who've lost loved ones recently. Be with those who are struggling to make ends meet. Be with those who are carrying real fears and worries. Father, may you touch each one of them, we ask and pray. Father, may we be receptive to what you say. May we be receptive to what you say to us each week. And may we be receptive to what you say to us this morning as well. Speak into our minds and our hearts, we ask and pray. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Karen's going to lead us in our next song. I'm probably going to drop on you, Sarah, to do the Bible reading, if that's all right. It'll be up on the screen, but it's Psalm 86, 1 to 12, just so that you know. if you want to follow straight from the song, that'd be great. Karen.
Yeah, let's stay seated for this song.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for you.
With you now. Father, minister to us your word as Sarah shares it with us, and minister your word as Stephen shares it with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Good morning, church. Oh, that was a bit mellow. Let's try it again. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Praise God. That's much better. Let's just be happy in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. So we're reading from Psalm 86, verses 1 to 12. And it reads, "Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you. Lord, no deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you. Lord, they will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you. Let me read it from there. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. Blessed be this reading. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you very much for that, Sarah. Over the years, I haven't preached on the Psalms as much as I should have done. For reasons I'm not quite sure of, the Psalms have not been my go-to place for words for congregations. If I was to flick through my trusty card index, I would find relatively few occasions when I have lifted the Psalms and delivered them before a congregation. That is my omission, and perhaps that is something I need to try and address. Because there is some wonderful truths in the Psalms. One of the truths in the Psalms that is proclaimed very loudly is the greatness of God. The psalmist frequently waxes eloquent on the greatness of God. One of the other themes that we find there in the Psalms is that God is there to help us. When we are in a difficult situation, when we are in a pickle, when we are in a mess, God is there to deliver us from those situations. That some of the Psalms of David were always about David being in a crisis and God helping him and delivering him. There is, as I was saying at communion, there is grace in the Psalms. The other week at home group, we were looking at Psalm 86, the passage that Sarah read for us there. And a phrase popped up which got us thinking and discussing. And it was that phrase in verse 11. I think we've seen the phrase there, if we can have it on the screen. Psalm 86, verse 11. David says, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. What, we wondered, does an undivided heart look like? Some of the other translations are helpful. The Good News Bible, for example. You can keep that up now, Penny. That's fine. Yeah, thank you. The Good News Bible has "Teach me to serve you with complete devotion." The New Living Translation, "Grant me purity of heart," which again is a very nice way of expressing it. Another translation I noted, "Keep my heart steadfast." They all come from a Hebrew word, yahav, which means be united. The tense is something in Hebrew called piel, which is like a command. So it literally could be read, "Unite my heart." Unite my heart. In fact, some of the very older translations, that is exactly how they render it. Unite my heart. Concentrate its affections. But I like the NIV. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. But I ask the question again, what does an undivided heart look like? In my experience, many of us, lots of us, beat ourselves up about this Christian life. Many of us beat ourselves up that we aren't good enough, that we don't do enough. And sometimes we can feel very guilty that we are not doing more, that we are not spending more time with God, etc., etc., etc. What I want to do this morning is I want to offer you a little bit of hope. I want to provide you with a little bit of, oh, I don't think you can put that in words, but it's a, oh, that's what I want to try and impart to you this Sunday morning. The word of encouragement I want to give you is that having an undivided heart does not mean that we have to spend 100% of our time on the things of God. Having an undivided heart does not mean that we have to spend 100% of our time on the things of God. Because we are human beings. We have been made as we are, with certain needs, with certain frailties, with certain fragilities. And whatever we want to say, and we'll come back to this later on, whatever we want to say about having an undivided heart, it has to take into account of those frailties and fragilities and those weaknesses that come with being human beings. For example, all of us have to eat. Am I right? All of us have to eat. And if we have to eat, then we have to do this wonderful thing called shopping. Or we could grow our own vegetables in the garden, which some do. But even that takes time as well. And then we've got to cook this food in order that we can eat it. And then, the best part of all, we've got to spend time washing up. We cannot avoid that because we are human. We are made in a certain way that we need food, and that takes time out of any one day. Sleep. We all need sleep. Several hours a night. Some of you, I know, struggle to get more than two. But anyway, most of us need several hours a night. John Wesley wasn't happy about that at all. John Wesley tried to account for every moment of every day in his journal with God. And he tried to make sure that every moment of every day was with purpose and whatever. And therefore he would ration his sleep. He would try not to have more than 4 hours sleep per night. Personally, if I don't get 7 hours sleep, I am grumpy. I am ratty. I am not very nice to be around. We all need sleep. There was a man, early 20th century, Welsh man, preacher called Evan Roberts. Evan Roberts was a brilliant preacher. He was an evangelist. Evan Roberts was responsible for the revival in Wales. But Evan Roberts got so preoccupied about making sure that he limited how much he slept, he limited how much he ate, he limited how much he mixed with people, he restricted how much he did for everything, because he was so keen to be on fire for God, he went mad in the end. Bless him. Poor old Evan Roberts. Great man of God, but he got things slightly wrong. And then there is this thing called rest and relaxation and time for ourselves. Time with family. All of us are human beings, and we need time for ourselves. We need me time. We need to relate to other human beings. We need time with others who are precious to us as well. Spending time with our family, spending time on ourselves and keeping well and healthy mustn't be seen as a distraction from serving God. Mustn't be seen as a distraction from serving God. I am mindful that there is a thing built into creation called Sabbath. You're familiar with Sabbath? Of course you're familiar with Sabbath. God works for 6 days and then rests and says to everyone, work for 6 days, but then rest. Chill could be another way of translating that word Sabbath. Have a chill day. God, who put that idea there, God who puts that notion of rest, is the same God who endorses those words in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. There is no inconsistency between the two. It is perfectly possible to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength, and at the same time have time for yourself. To chill, to relax, to spend time with loved ones and family. Because we're made that way. You mustn't feel guilty about spending time nurturing yourself. You mustn't feel guilty about spending time nurturing yourself and spending times with those you love, because that is perfectly commensurate, perfectly possible to sit alongside, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. David prays to have an undivided heart, but when he prays to have an undivided heart, he isn't asking for all these human things to be taken away from him. That has to be built into who we are and the limitations that we have as human beings. We are not superhuman. We are not superhuman. There are certain things that we have to do which do not naturally and directly have a Godward focus. But in that time that is left to us, in that time that is left to us, then the call then is to love the Lord with all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength as well. God is good. God is good. God is gracious. God has allowed us to enjoy this world and to enjoy the things of this world. He's made us here for enjoying those things that he has put in front of us. Let's not feel guilty about that. But at the same time, let's not let those simple pleasures of life, let's not let them take over either. Let's not let them take over. Sharon was away for a couple of nights this week. She had a conference to go to. I was on my own. I could do what I wanted. We have a pattern at home. If I'm working in the evening, I'll work till about 9 o'clock, and then I'll come downstairs and we will doss for a couple of hours in front of the television, and we will watch mindless things. Sharon wasn't here. I could watch what I wanted. Wednesday night, it was Bible study. Downstairs, I got home about 9:30. Rang Sharon, we spoke, updated, da-da-da, 9:45. I'd been watching something on Netflix the night before, so I finished up watching that. Now, my go-to things to watch, my go-to relaxation when Sharon isn't there, I'm sorry, this sounds a bit romance films. I like romance films. I do. There's a couple of channels, I can tell you about them if you like, and they're very good. But on this occasion, it was Netflix, and I was watching, I put this other thing came on Netflix about 11 o'clock. So anyway, normally we go to bed between 9:15 and 11:30. I'm watching this thing, and before I knew where it was 12 o'clock. I thought, oh dear, right, okay. But you know what happens with these series? Episode 1 comes on, and then it says 3 seconds to go for the next episode. So before I knew where I was into episode 2. And it was getting really good. So I'm watching this, and it came to an end, and I looked at the clock, and it was 10 to 1. I never go to bed at 10 to 1, never. So anyway, I went to bed, and yeah, straight asleep, that's fine. No worries, I had to be up early the next morning, because I'd got something I had to do, somewhere I had to be. Alarm was set, no problem, 2 minutes to 7 o'clock, lovely. The alarm came on, great. Listened to the news headlines, fine. The next thing I knew, it was the sports news. Sports news? That's 7:30. Leapt out of bed, got washed, got dressed, downstairs, got my breakfast as quick as I could, came back up, had a shave. It's 8:30. Time to go. Off I went. Normally my morning routine is very leisurely. Normally I have breakfast, Sharon goes off and does, and then I sit down. With serenity. I sit down with a cup of coffee and I pray and read my Bible and then I attack the day. Not Thursday. No. Out the door. Down the road. Da-da-da-da-da. Did what I had to do. Got there just in the nick of time. You know those swans that are graceful on the surface and they're paddling like fury underneath? That was me Thursday morning. Everything's fine. God was very gracious. God was very gracious. I got through the day very well. Everything went smoothly and swimmingly. There wasn't a hiccup. There wasn't a problem. Thank you, Lord. God is gracious. But I tell you what, if I was doing that every morning, if that was my routine every day, I'm not sure God would be quite so tolerant with me. God has given us wonderful things that we can do. He knows our needs. He knows that we need to spend time on ourselves and with our loved ones. He knows all that. But he also knows that the world in which we live can also be a, if I use the word, a dangerous place. There are lots of temptations. There are lots of things that can distract us, that can absorb our time. Legitimate things, but they can absorb our time. And if we're not careful, we can spend so much time on those things that we have squeezed out God. That's the danger. And that's the thing that we need to watch for. By all means, let's enjoy the good things of this world. Let's enjoy those things that matter to us and help us and nourish us. But let's keep that wonderful thing called balance. Enjoying those things but not letting them take over. Enjoying those things but not letting them consume us. Making sure that we're not up half the night watching the 4th or 5th episode in the Netflix series. That we're not up half the night on Xbox or video games or what it might be and then not getting up as we should in the morning. This world is a good world. God has made it good. God has made us for refreshment, for nourishment, for blessing he has. But he also wants us for himself. And he wants us to be able to consecrate all that we are and all that we have to him. So that when you are working and spending 6, 7, 8, in some of your cases, 12 hours on a work shift, consecrate that to God. Offer that up to the Lord. It's not a waste. It's not a distraction. Offer it up to him so that you can use that for his glory. Use the time that we have for ourselves, but use the time that we have for him as well. And let's not let this world creep in on us. Let's not let this world take over us. Let's not let this world consume us. But let's keep our focus on him. And if this morning you're feeling that perhaps you've got that balance a little skewed, if this morning you're sitting here thinking, well, 10 to 1, that's early for me. If you're thinking to yourself, well, perhaps I shouldn't do that, or perhaps I shouldn't be doing this, then just talk to the Lord about it. Talk to the Lord and ask for help so that you can get your priorities right, so that you can get the balance right. So that, yes, you can spend time on yourself, but also you can spend time on him and what he wants you to be doing for him. This prayer of David's, Lord, give me an undivided heart. It isn't a stick that beats us. It isn't something that chastises us. It's an encouragement. It's an encouragement to examine ourselves, to look at what we do, to look at our priorities, and to try and make sure that we give him quality time, that we give him the best of our lives, that he is the best thought in the day or the night. Let's endeavour to make sure that this life that we live is one that is focused on him, that does strive to serve him. Let's serve him with an undivided heart. We're going to listen to a song now. Depending on time, I might stop it before it comes to the end. The words are on the screen. Don't worry if there's a little picture of the lady and the album that pops up as well. That's part of the video. But it's a song called Undivided Heart.
You're God.
Let's be quiet for a moment, shall we? You can have my heart undivided. Lord, forgive us if we've got our priorities wrong. Forgive us if the things of this life have taken us away from you. Forgive us if there's been temptations. Forgive us if there are things that have just not been right. Lord, bring us back. Draw us back. Win us back to that place where we need to be. Honed in on you. Focused on you. Living with you. With an undivided heart. Help us, Lord, each of us this day to readjust our priorities, to get that balance in our lives right, and help us to find that sweet place where we love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish by singing a great hymn of the church, Be Thou My Vision. We will stand and sing together. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming this morning. Thank you for being here. There is tea and coffee downstairs. However, if there's a couple of people who might be able to just slip down now and lend a hand, because it's a bit problematic down there today. We can't use the sinks in the servery. We can only use the sinks in the kitchen. So it's going to need a bit more work in terms of washing up at the end. And it could do with a bit of help now. So if there's anybody who can slip down and lend a hand, I am sure Jackie would be very grateful. There is prayer ministry here. If anybody would value prayer, then Fred and Fred will be very happy to pray with you. That would be good. There's a CAP money course starting tomorrow. Anybody who's struggling with handling budgets or managing budgets, that's tomorrow. I think it's 12:30 to 2:30, but it does have the details in the newsletter. Thursday night, we've got the Bridge House prayer meeting. That's at 7:30. Friday at 7:30, it's the men's meal. And if you haven't signed up for the fish and chips, then there is a list in the conversation area where you can do that. Richard has asked me to remind you that there is a sample on Saturday morning from 9:30. We're running this Freedom in Christ course. It's a sample session of what the course entails, with a view to running it out next year. If you've been interested in seeing what it's all about, then slip along Saturday morning, 9:30. We will be in the upper room because the Romanians have got the church downstairs, the lighthouse downstairs. ABBA, you'll see in the newsletter, ABBA is running some online tutoring courses. If that might be relevant for you, then please get in touch with her. Karen mentioned last week about the volunteers for the Big Church Festival. And anybody interested in baptism, we have a baptismal service planned for the 7th of September. Could I remind church members that on Tuesday week, the 22nd of July, we've got our next church members meeting. There will be a special church members item on that, which is to invite Sarah to become our minister in training from September. So the decision on that will be made at the church members meeting on the 22nd of July. That's it. Let me pray. Father, bless these wonderful people, guide them in their lives, help them in all that they have to do. Help all of us, Lord, to get our priorities straight and get our priorities right, and help us indeed to live and follow you with that undivided heart. Go with us into this week. Bless us, strengthen us, guide us, provide for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless.